Jordan Hayden.
Very shortly on We Love Movies, we will be reviewing The Mummy. But first, let us hear from the film star Tom Cruise. Here he is talking to us on We Love Movies about his desire to see a monster movie.
I want to see a monster movie now. I only go for things like what I love movies. I go, you know, I go to the theater to watch films. I'm watch, you know, a movie a day. And I am hungry to, as an audience, to see a film like this. I want to be scared. I want to be entertained. I want it in a way that it's thrilling. Put me on the edge of my seat.
This isn't a tomb. It's a prison.
Nick!
The hieroglyph said she was named Amunet, chosen to be Egypt's next queen. But her thirst for power led her down a darker path, one that had to be stopped.
Here is Tom Cruise once again on We Love Movies, chatting to us about storytelling and his character Nick Morton in The Mummy.
Nick Morton is a thief. He is. He's a thief. He's basically stealing these old relics and selling it on the black market for money. He works for the army and uses his position in the army to scout and go ahead and kind of work, you know, work the sides of the black market. And with his partner, you know, Jake Johnson, Vale. And he is definitely not interested in history, has no real understanding of what it is that he deals in. And he gets caught up in this terrifying adventure. We've been really pushing the edges of storytelling. Of, you know, this film is going to have really obviously great action, real thrills, real scares, and wonderful, you know, kind of character humor that I love within it. Very, I think, kind of dark humor. That I want from this kind of film.
Now, one of the big sequences that featured in the trailer to The Mummy is the zero-G scene. Here is Tom Cruise talking about shooting that, along with his take on the filmmaking process.
When I travel the world and I meet many different people, I hear many different stories, I'm always looking at geography and thinking of different ways to entertain an audience. And I'd had this idea of creating a zero-G sequence for some time, and when I read the script and Alex had come up with the idea of a plane crash, I spoke with him. I said, listen, I think this is the way to approach this. And I was very pleased to know that and hear how excited he was about it in the studio, to really create something that is visceral and terrifying for an audience. That was really the goal. How do we put them right on the edge of the seat? It's always my goal, whether it's structure, character, or, you know, physical action. You know, how do we do that? And so that's where this started. It's exciting when people come together with this kind of project and we go, okay, let's go make a movie. And that's how you feel, even though it's massive in scale. But there is also that sense of and joy of creating something that I'm really... I love, you know, I love it, and I love this genre and this universe.
You are alive because you were chosen.
Chosen? By what?
Evil. The ultimate evil.
Legend has it she's a being of unimaginable powers. Now she's using you to regain them.
And finally, here is Tom Cruise once again on We Love Movies, talking to us about working alongside Russell Crowe.
Russell's a very powerful actor. He's a brilliant actor. And to have him play this character, I was excited when he said that he wanted to be part of it, to see, okay, here you have this ballast also in the center of the film. And him playing that character, I'm very interested in him playing, like, that character, Jekyll. What... You know, it was really fun watching him create it and having the promise of that in the film and that dynamic between the two of us and also with all the other cast.
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Very shortly, Rory Cashin will review The Mummy, but plot-wise, Tom Cruise, he plays Nick Morton. He's a soldier of fortune who constantly plunders ancient sites for timeless artifacts in order to sell them on the black market. But when Nick and his partner come under attack in the Middle East, they accidentally manage to unearth a betrayed Egyptian princess who's been entombed under the desert for thousands of years. Unfortunately, her powers constantly keep evolving, so Nick is suddenly thrust into stopping the resurrected monster as she embarks on a furious rampage of revenge. Before we hear from Rory, here's a little bit more from the trailer to The Mummy.
She will not stop until she has remade our world.
You can't run. You can't escape. She's got plans for you.
Rory Cashin joins me now to review The Mummy. Rory, when I first saw the trailer to this, instantly I thought, oh, here we go. Tom Cruise, he's in a Mission Impossible mode. Could he just park Ethan Hunt for a little bit until the next Mission Impossible flick comes out? Because the trailer does leave out certain moments. You think, oh, you should have really hyped up the horror in the trailer as opposed to making this look like another type of Mission Impossible flick. And also, his character, again, I was expecting him to be very stoic, like Ethan Hunt or Jack Reacher, but instead, he's a real rogue. He's got a real mischievous quality to him, which you don't see in the trailer. What were your thoughts when you first saw the promotional material for The Mummy?
Well, yeah, like I guess even from the early announcement that, you know, Tom Cruise is going to be in a mummy movie, it didn't sound quite right, because he seems like he's too big a star to have in kind of a genre film like this. Like Brendan Fraser, yep, that's fine. Yeah, Luke Evans for the vampire one, that's fine. Benicio del Toro for the Wolfman back in the day, that's fine. Like, it didn't make a huge amount of sense for Tom Cruise to be in this mummy movie until only recently, when you find out about the Dark Universe stuff and you see that Universal are pumping so much money into this potentially massive franchise that they're going to be kicking off. So there was that, and then when I seen the first trailer and I seen the airplane stunt, which is kind of like what they're pinning the whole action movie slant on, and when you see it on the big screen, it is very, very impressive, but it is also like something you might have seen in a Mission Impossible film. It does seem like of that kind of scope. And then when you finally sit down to watch the film, it does have much more of a sense of humor than you would have initially guessed, because Cruise and Annabelle Wallace, who plays the archaeologist, they have some really good back and forth between them. Jake Johnson is good as the kind of comedic sidekick. And it doesn't push it too far, but there are one or two scenes where I imagine some of the younger audiences will be properly creeped out, because it does feel like the director, Alex Kurtzman, is really pumping up the horror a little bit, especially in the scenes where Sofia Boutella is kind of sucking the soul out of anyone she crosses. When you see the bodies just kind of curl up into like these decrepit corpse and looking things, they're still breathing. Like I can imagine some 11-year-olds going, well, that's me wetting to bed later on when I go home.
But you know, I think with that trailer, Rory, just to get back to that, I think they could have brought out a third trailer to kind of showcase some of those horror elements, because you do feel they're really missing elements of the tone and charm that's very present in the first half of this movie. And I think that's why some people might kind of go, oh, it's just Tom Cruise doing the usual Tom Cruise shtick. And yeah, there are elements of that, but he is doing a lot more as well. Because for me, Roy, I found this very much like a film of two halves. The first half very much had the mischievous, roguish charm that's going on with Cruise's character, Nick Morton, the sidekick, Jake Johnson. They played off each other nicely. Johnson didn't overpower the comedic scenes too much. Then when we really get into unearthing the Sofia Boutella character, and then it gets into the horror aspect, I thought, God, there's some zombie moments in here that would make George A. Romero proud. Like, it properly, nicely shot, nice production design. It's all coming together nicely, I think, as a horror fan and as an action fan. There's a lot to like here. But then once we get to the midway point, and Russell Crowe's character comes into play, and an awful lot of explaining has to be done about the secret organisation and what they do, it's almost like, I felt, Rory, that whoever was writing the movie suddenly went, ah, that's me done now, I'm handing it over to somebody else. And like the Mummy character, the film, the life of the film seems to get sucked out of it, and it feels like it's being pawed onto somebody else. And it started going quite flat for me. I just felt like it lost a lot of the energy that had built up so nicely in the first half. Like, I don't know if you felt the same.
I do to an extent. I do feel like they had an initial draft of what the Mummy was going to be, and then I feel like someone else was brought in to rewrite the second half to leave in more clues and more elements for the Dark Universe franchise. Like, it just felt a lot like, right, we're going to have to really pump up the point that this is just the entry for, you know, the next four or five or six films. And it kind of lost the... I guess, like, it kind of was kind of an intimate nature on an epic scale just between Cruise, Annabelle Wallace, and Sofia Boutella, because everything was felt very, you know, streamlined. It was like, plane crashes here, they have to get here to find this thing, and this is the only way they have to stop it. And that felt very, very natural and very, very, like, just straightforward. And I was like, okay, can't get confused here, really enjoying it. And then they muddied the waters with the whole secret organization and who Russell Crowe's character was, and it felt like he's involved in an action scene about halfway through the film that really felt completely pointless.
Yeah.
It was just to have something happen, because they were like, right, well, we've got him here, we have him playing this character, so we better have him show off what he can do. And it just felt really crowbarred in for no real reason. And there was a few points like that towards the second half and towards the end of the film where it just felt like stuff was being just inserted just because it needs to. It had kind of an Iron Man 2 problem where it was like, right, we're nodding an awful lot to stuff that hasn't happened yet at the expense of the story that we're telling now.
And the way the film ends, I promise I will not spoil anything, so fear not anyone. I just thought some of the dialogue toward the end was just terrible. It's almost like going back on what we were saying about Wonder Woman last week, but having to exposition elements to the story. And I just thought it ended very flat, in particular with Tom Cruise's character. I was like, really? That's how it's going to go? But anywho, I just thought it was building nicely. The first half of the film, Rory, I was all about this to me now. I'm going to give this a good maybe 8 out of 10. I was really feeling it. I was really getting into it. And then as it went on, Rory, and it got into, as we'll call it, Iron Man 2 type territory, I just went, 6 out of 10 for me. Oh, you could have been so much better. You had the potential. But yeah, I came away from it just that bit disappointed.
Yeah, I would be the same. I was pleasantly surprised overall that it was as good as it was, considering, you know, how bad it technically could have been. But yeah, like, compared to the first half of the film, there is definitely a dip in quality the longer it goes on. That's not to say it's still not enjoyable. Like, that plane sequence is definitely needed to be seen on IMAX if you can, because I thought it was done tremendously well. Like I said, Cruise and Annabelle Wallace have fantastic chemistry. Sofia Boutella is having a great time playing the villain. But it does just feel a little bit underwhelming towards the end, when you're like, oh, you're focusing so heavily on what has to come next that you've sacrificed it in the name of what we're having right now.
Just very quickly before we get your scores, Rory, just in regard to what is coming next and this Dark Universe that Universal is building. We've heard this week that the Phantom of the Opera and the Hunchback of Notre Dame is also going to appear in it too. Are you excited about the new movies that are to come off the back of being slightly disappointed a little bit with The Mummy?
Well, I think I'm going to be more interested in who they get to direct them. Because this one, Alex Kurtzman, he already directed one film before, and it was a film that nobody saw called People Like Us. But he has been involved in some big blockbusters, both in writing them and producing them. And unfortunately, they've been all over the shop in terms of quality. They were the Star Trek reboot, but they were also some of the Transformers sequels. So he was a tough one to call.
Yeah.
I know they have Bill Condon on to direct Bride of Frankenstein, which is supposed to be the next one. And she hasn't signed on the dotted line yet, but they want Angelina Jolie to play the title role. And that'll be interesting to see. But a lot of it will depend on who they get to direct them. Because I know Johnny Depp is playing The Invisible Man. Javier Bardem is due to play Frankenstein's Monster. They want Fassbender on, possibly to play The Phantom of the Opera. Charlize Theron, possibly to play The Creature of the Black Lagoon.
Wow.
So, like, there's And then there's still Van Helsing, who I actually thought was going to show up in this one. Oh, and another thing, if you're watching The Mummy, do not wait till the end credits like I did.
Oh, I did it as well, Rory. I thought there was going to be nothing. Oh, my.
There should be a warning at the start of these films. You're going to think that there's more, but there's not. So there's nothing there.
And those credits are
10 minutes of sitting through the credits.
Long, Rory. They're about 10 minutes.
They're super long.
I couldn't get over it. I was like, I cannot believe I wasted my time with that. Well, let's get you. Oh, I was so bitter and disappointed. Out of 10, Rory, for The Mummy.
I would give it a 6.5 out of 10. I think, you know, the money's all up there on the screen. There is some nice chemistry moments. The acting's top-notch. But the last 30, 40 minutes really could have done with maybe a different screenwriter coming in just to go, maybe we don't need all these nods to the future films. And we'll just have fun telling The Mummy.
Oh, it's so true. Rory Cashin, thank you so much. We'll chat to you next week.
Thank you.
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Now when We Love Movies, we are going to take a look at five performances from Tom Cruise that we think are worthy to have the chats about. Andy McCarroll joins me now. Before we do that, Andy, just give us a little bit of background to Mr. Tom Cruise, because he didn't initially want to be an actor. There was another particular type of vocation he had his eye on.
Yeah, strangely enough, he was actually training to be a priest when he dropped out then to start studying acting. So he's kind of always had a fondness for religion, shall we say, and well, I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to get sued.
Well, we definitely know which particular church that he has signed up to these days. As we all know, Andy, Tom Cruise, he is a bona fide movie star. And he does have one of the few accolades that is one of the first actors to have a series of films which passed the $100 million mark.
Yeah, he had the 40 Few Good Men, The Firm, Interview with the Vampire, Mission Impossible and Jerry Maguire all grossed over $100 million. That record stood until Will Smith, of all people, broke it. He managed to get 8 in a row before his career kind of took a fall off a cliff. I think he's kind of the last genuine, what you call the last movie star. Someone who's that kind of the matinee idol looks, you know, the name above the poster still kind of means something. Now, there's very few of that left where you've, you know, you're kind of basing them on, you know, the properties, the likes of the superhero films or to the cast where you've got, you know, things like The Expendables where there's 5 or 6 big actors in it. Tom Cruise to me is still that name you can put above the title and it's still, you know, a Tom Cruise film as opposed to, you know, a superhero film or an ensemble film.
Now, he was over in Ireland, Andy, back in 2011 and they managed to find, very tenuously, his Irish roots.
Yeah, they're traced back to the Norman Lord Strongbow. And there's actually two places. Hollywood in North County Dublin is where his family owned land. And they also owned land in, of all places, Cruise Town in Nobber and Meath, which is how the place got its name. So it's strange that, you know, even today there's still a piece of Ireland named after Tom Cruise's family.
Now let's talk about some of his memorable performances, Andy. Some honourable mentions first, though. Rain Man, Born on the 4th of July, Minority Report, Edge of Tomorrow, Collateral, The Firm, The Colour of Money. Great performances, really good films. But they don't feature in your particular top five. So let's kick off with the fifth film on your list. What is it?
Yeah, the fifth for me would be the Mission Impossible series. It's kind of a cheat to put them all in as one, but I think they're very different films, and I think he's kind of very different in them as well. Like, he's reinvented himself completely as this 80s heartthrob, and then he's all of a sudden, you know, the new James Bond, essentially. To take, you know, a fairly obscure TV show and turn it into, you know, the biggest action franchise on the planet besides Fast and the Furious, it was really, you know, a bold choice on his behalf, and it's something that paid dividends for him. He's made billions off the back of this. But I really think that this kind of, on the back of the likes of The Bourne and the reinvention of the James Bond films, this was the start of that. We've got that, you know, serious, vulnerable action hero, that's someone who can get hurt and somebody who is going to do these crazy stunts all by himself and not rely on, you know, CGI or special effects to pull them off.
Simple game. Is he serious?
Always.
It's much worse than you think.
We're being ambushed. Abort, that's an order.
Now next up, Andy, in at number 4 in your top 5 Tom Cruise performance list, we have Jerry Maguire, a film which is so quotable. And ironically enough, he wasn't the first choice for this movie, it was Tom Hanks.
Yeah, and you can kind of see Tom Hanks playing that role. And this is the film on the list I've had in and out. Like, I didn't realise until you kind of list Tom Cruise films how many fantastic performances he's had. Jerry Maguire was kind of the one that was teetering on the edge. Cuba Gooding Jr., of course, won the Oscar for that and completely stole the film. he was nominated for a Best Actor award, Tom Cruise was, and lost out to Jeffrey Rush in Shine. But I still think it's one of those few kind of, you know, it's a very old school kind of film. You know, you could imagine it, you know, 50s, 60s, a kind of a Jimmy Stewart film. Mm. It's very much feel good. It's not cynical in any way. There's no badness to him, with the exception of the Bob Sugar character. And it's a real kind of hopeful and optimistic film. And that was kind of, you know, the message for it was why I was kept in for that. It's hard to kick something that, you know, with such a great view of the world into touch.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it with you with meaning, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell that shit.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
Now, moving on to your top three, Andy, and a film where everyone was chewing the scenery in was A Few Good Men.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried. I've actually been called for jury duty lately, and I'm just spending the whole time sitting there trying not to shout out, "You Can't Handle the Truth." It's just something that's just seeped into pop culture now. Like, you immediately, even if you haven't seen the film or you can't remember the film, you still remember that scene with him and Jack Nicholson. And you kind of forget at the time, Tom Cruise wasn't really a very particularly bankable star at the time. Like, I know Jack Nicholson, Kevin Bacon, Demi Moore was very much a bigger star than him at the time. And to see him really kind of hold his own, with the exception of maybe Born the 4th of July, this is the first film where you really see Tom Cruise is more than just, you know, a good-looking man. He's a fantastic actor. Like, when Jack Nicholson is on form, he's one of the best in the world. And to be able to put it up to him on that is something that's really, really remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. He does a fantastic job. And it would be remiss of us, Andy, if we didn't play that famous scene from A Few Good Men.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel? Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object!
And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose!
Your Honor, you had
Margaret's
inside a bony transport!
Your Honor, you doctored the logbook!
Damn it, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Your top two now, Andy. This is where we're really getting to see the best of the best when it comes to Tom Cruise's performances. The film that we're going to talk about next, he was Oscar nominated for.
He was, and again, didn't win it, and I think he really, really deserved it. The film's Magnolia, and the character of Frank Mackey. It was something completely removed from what you'd normally see Tom Cruise. He's always the kind of, you know, the moral center of every film he's been in. But this was just a complete, absolute, evil, you know, borderline narcissistic lunatic he was playing. And to see him kind of take the chance on that with a director like Paul Thomas Anderson really kind of opened up new doors. And I'm kind of disappointed in a way that he didn't go down that route. He was born with the likes of Valkyrie and Lions for Lambs. He's never really gone back to playing something like this. Like, he's just endlessly quotable, absolute force of nature in that film. He's fantastic to watch. And again, like I said, I like seeing the likes of the Mission Impossible, the Jack Reacher films, but I'd really like to see him, you know, get his teeth into something like this where he's really, like, you know, a hard-nosed bastard, essentially.
It's a great performance and definitely well worth a watch if you haven't had a chance to check it out. That is Magnolia.
It hurts, doesn't it? Huh? You in a lot of pain? She was in a lot of pain. Right to the end, she was in a lot of pain. I know, because I was there, Earl. You didn't like illness, though, did you? I was there. She waited for your call. For you to come. I'm not gonna cry for you.
But Andy, there can only be one, and you've gone with a very interesting choice that a lot of people will go, actually, Andy, I'm surprised that you put this in at number one. Reveal all.
For me, my favourite Tom Cruise performance is Interview with the Vampire. This will kind of be, you know, growing up, this was one of a film that I was probably a bit too young to see at the time. And just remember, I just knew Tom Cruise from, you know, it was kind of the 80s film, you know, the likes of Top Gun, Cocktail. That was Tom Cruise to me. And even Anne Rice, who wrote the book, she took out a full page ad in one of the Hollywood trades to say how against this choice she was. You know, this, her character, Lestat, isn't supposed to be this, you know, pretty boy Tom Cruise-like character. After the film came out, she actually went again and put a full page retraction saying how much she loved his performance. I think it's just a stunning film. I happened to catch that just at the right time. Everybody in it is perfect. Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt. I think Stephen Ray is kind of the unsung hero on that. Like, his performance in that absolutely scared the life out of me. I still, you know, he's the kind of go-to creepy character I'd see in that. But I don't see that. We're talking Tom Cruise here. He is an absolute revelation in this. He's just, you can see the allure of why Brad Pitt's character would want to, like, you know, spend the eternity with him and be, you know, mesmerized by that side of it. And Christian Slater as well, who's doing the titular interview with him. You can see that kind of personality shine through, even though he's, you know, this kind of evil, dark side to him. It's still something very alluring to him. And I think, you know, vampire films have really struggled to carry, you know, like the Twilight films and things like that. They don't really show the kind of, you know, the glory side of it that, you know, that people would want to embrace, the cool side of being a vampire, which I think that film really shows.
Whining coward of a vampire who prowls the night killing rats and poodles. You could have finished us both. You condemn me to hell. I don't know any hell.
If you've just joined us, Andy McCarroll has been going through his top five Tom Cruise performances. Just to recap, we have in at number five was Ethan Hunt from the Mission Impossible series. Then we have Jerry Maguire. In at three was A Few Good Men, followed up by Frank Mackey. He played in Magnolia absolutely brilliantly and well deserving of that Oscar nomination. And finally, as you just heard, his performance as Lestat in Interview with the Vampire. Andy, thank you so much for going through those with us. Coming up after the break, Andy will be back as we'll be going through the movie news for this week, which features two big stories in regard to Tom Cruise. Top Gun 2 finally gets a title. We'll be talking about that and lots more right after the break.